This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
12:03 Thursday, June 20th, 2024. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for being with us today here on the WBBM Noon Business Hour. I'm Andy Dane in for Rob Hart. Christmas in July is a popular promotion, and it sometimes requires a certain visitor from the north. We'll cover that in our next segment. But right now, a familiar purple McDonald's character having a high-profile summer. Let's get the story from R.J. Hodevy, head of analytical research at Los Altos, California-based foot traffic analysis firm Placer AI. R.J., thanks for being with us here on the Noon Business Hour today. All right, so it's happening again. I cannot open up Instagram, social media, TikTok without seeing Grimace. We had this happen a few months ago. Tell us why Grimace is back.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly seems to be a recurring theme here. And if we go back to last year, it was really driven by the viral success that we saw with the Grimace Shake offered by McDonald's, which did drive quite a few visits, according to our data. This year, it's a different angle. Apparently, Grimace threw out the first pitch at a New York Mets game in mid-May, and ever since then, the team has been on a winning streak. It seems to be doing a lot to raise his profile. And we've seen a lot of promotions tied to that. And frankly, actually, we're seeing a lot more visits to Citi Field in New York for Mets series as well. So you're right; it's yet another summer of Grimace.
All right. Well, I hope Jerry Reinsdorf is taking notes, maybe have Grimace throw out a first pitch at a White Sox game coming up here, but that's not the point. RJ, I want to, you mentioned the Grimace Shake and how kind of that drove traffic for McDonald's. Is there a way for McDonald's to kind of capitalize on this movement and this excitement that Grimace has created around the Mets? Is there anything they can do to kind of make a profit here?
I'd be surprised if there wasn't something that they do on social media. It doesn't sound like they have plans to reintroduce the Grimace Shake from last year, but I'd be surprised if they don't have some sort of promotional, even if it is just limited to more social media, to build the brand and capitalize on this. They've been pretty smart when it comes to these kind of promotions the last couple of years, and I'd be surprised if we don't see something from McDonald's on that in the next couple of days or a week or so.
RJ, I'm curious too, from a business perspective here, what can be learned from this? I would assume that other companies are kind of taking note, of the popularity that this has. Obviously, McDonald's has the advantage of having this cast of characters that they've had for years now. How are businesses kind of keeping an eye on this and maybe looking to see if they can capitalize on popularity, just like Grimace is right now for McDonald's?
Yeah, I think the lesson learned here really is that nostalgia is an effective motivating factor for a lot of consumers in this day and age. We saw it with the Grimace Shake, but going back to some of the other promotions McDonald's has run, we had the adult Happy Meal a couple of years back. That was one of the most successful promotions that we'd seen, just some monster numbers in terms of visitation. I think this was October of 22 when we saw this. And then, we've seen things like the Mexican pizza relaunch for Taco Bell, something that a lot of people remember from growing up, and that was also very successful. So I think that this idea of nostalgia is part of a broader marketing effort, is the lesson learned here. And I think we've certainly seen a lot of the quick service restaurants adapt to this, but we're starting to see more and more across consumer packaged goods and retailers as well, really helping to drive foot traffic to their retail locations or to buy their products.
Really interesting stuff. Thanks so much for the insight on Grimace Mania here. Thanks again. RJ Hodevy, head of analytical research at Los Altos, California-based foot traffic analysis firm Placer AI. Coming up, putting Santa to work in the off-season.
Your best stock option. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Well, the next turn of the monthly calendar page will bring in July, and that means Christmas in July promotions will start popping up. Let's discuss summertime Santas now with Mitch Allen, founder and head elf of HireSanta.com. Mitch, thanks so much for being with us. It's one of my favorite things to talk about here on the Noon Business Hour. And right now is one of your busiest times of the year. Tell us kind of why that is.
Yeah, it's busy for two different reasons. I appreciate having me on. One is Christmas in July. People are having this sort of mid-year Christmas events. It's an excuse to get out and have some Christmas cheer in the middle of the year, as well as we're already booking for Christmas as well.
So tell me, you know, the concept of Christmas in July has really kind of evolved into a massive cultural and commercial event. You know, from in your eyes, how has that developed here in the recent years?
Yeah, so we've really seen an increase in Christmas in July events here at Higher Santa over, say, the last 10 years. You know, 10 years ago, we really didn't book many of those events. But now we're seeing more and more people want to have some sort of celebration in July. You know, they're totally different. We've got Santa's going to pool parties and birthday parties and those types of events. It's really a different type of event, much more casual, but it's just having some Christmas cheer as part of summer.
Mitch, I'm curious what you hear from customers. You mentioned whether it's a pool party, maybe a work party, things like that, just to kind of, you know, lighten the mood here in the dog days of summer. What do you hear from people who are taking advantage of this?
Yeah, so most of them are related to just having some fun and bringing some of that Christmas cheer into summer. But we've got, you know, our Santas, we typically will send them out in what we call summer Santa. You know, Santa is vacationing in a sunny spot during the summer, is going to pool parties. Generally, you know, we'll have a sort of a fun Hawaiian-style Santa shirt. And not be sort of the full Santa. But it's just throwing that little bit of Christmas into July that people are looking for, as well as just something different. You know, people really like to just have some fun during the summer. And instead of just having a normal pool party or a normal corporate event, it's having that special Christmas theme to it.
And not that the Christmas lovers such as myself are counting down the days necessarily. We are still only in June. But, you know, before you know it, it will be the holiday season. So aside from the Christmas in July promotions, Mitch, how early should people be looking into booking their Santas and their other holiday entertainers here for the actual holiday season?
Yeah, now this is really the work that we're the serious work that we're doing right now is already getting ready for Christmas. You know, those full season malls or retail establishments that want Santa all through November and December, like we're already working, the contracts are mostly signed already. We're working on staffing and logistics associated with that. But if you're just having a Christmas party, whether it be home or office or retail establishment, and you're wanting to do them on a weekend in December, right now is the perfect time to start looking at it because we sell out on those weekends. Starting in early October, it's hard to find a Santa that isn't fully booked for those weekends in December.
I might have to throw on some Bing Crosby to get festive here in the studio. It's very exciting stuff, so thanks so much for joining us as always. Mitch Allen, founder and head elf at HireSanta.com. Up next, an update on the energy markets, including the price at the pump.
Lunch money for all generations. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It has been an up and down year at the gasoline pump. Let's get the latest now from Phil Flynn, senior market analyst at Price Group and a Fox Business News contributor. Phil, thanks for being with us here on the Noon Business Hour today. All right, so several analysts calling for much lower gas prices heading into the 4th of July holiday. However, oil futures are telling us a different story. What are you seeing from your perspective here?
Andy, you always want me to rain on everybody's parade, right? You know, they were promising that gasoline prices would fall 10% by the 4th of July. And every time you hear those predictions, you have to be careful because things can change pretty dramatically quickly in the gasoline market. You know, for example, today, you know, we've seen the price of gasoline start to surge over the last couple of days, partly due to, you know, strong demand. We just got a report that demand hit the highest level of the year, geopolitical risk factors, throwing a refinery outage or two, and before you know it, prices are back on the rise.
You mentioned some of those factors, Phil. I'm curious how some geopolitical issues are factoring in here as well, if they are at all.
They are. It's been huge. In fact, if you look around the globe, the risk to oil supplies is still higher than it's been in a generation. And we're not just talking about the war in Ukraine. We're talking about the Houthi rebels shooting at ships in the Red Sea, disrupting shipping lanes. But even here at home, you know, we've had nuclear submarines from Russia, you know, in the Gulf of Mexico. So this is like unheard of risk. And it's not going to take that much to disrupt global oil supplies. And that market could pop very quickly. And already, you know, when you have those kind of conditions, you know, the insurance rates on oil is a lot higher, and it keeps those prices high.
What does the oil gas price market right now, Phil, kind of tell us about the U.S. economy as a whole here?
It's showing signs that the U.S. economy is continuing to be strong. You know, one of the things we've been hearing in recent weeks is that, oh boy, gasoline's been really bad, and it hasn't been as strong as it normally has been. In fact, we're about 1% below a year ago. And it does show that there's many consumers that are feeling the pain of inflation. But if you look at the overall industrial demand, it's starting to perk up a little bit, and it probably means we're going to see a supply deficit in oil by the end of the year.
You mentioned that, Phil. Finally, before we let you go, what is your kind of outlook here for the rest of 2024 moving forward?
You know, I hate to rain on everybody's parade, but I think oil prices or gasoline prices have bottomed. I think oil prices are heading back up towards $88 a barrel. National average on oil or gasoline probably back up to $3.50. And I don't want to tell you in Chicago, but, you know, we could see those prices edge up another quarter here in the next couple of weeks.
All right. Sorry to make you rain on everyone's parade, but very helpful and insightful stuff, as always. Thanks again. Phil Flynn, senior market analyst at Price Group and a Fox Business News contributor.
This is Chicago's news, traffic, and weather station, News Radio 105.9. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
12:30, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us on the WBBM Noon Business Hour. I'm Andy Dane in for Rob Hart. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. Two suburban teenagers are safe after drifting out into Lake Michigan on paddleboards. It's a week of dangerous heat across large parts of the country. In Technology Thursday, a computer system outage creating problems for car dealerships across North America. And a brewing WNBA rivalry sending ticket prices to record heights. In sports, the Sky leading Dallas at Wintrust Arena. White Sox hosting Houston at the top of the hour. Wall Street, the Dow is up 180 points. NASDAQ down 150. The S&P falling 19. AccuWeather says clouds and some sunshine today. Not as hot, still humid. Could see some thunderstorms around. Lows make that highs near 80 at the lakefront. Low 90s south and west of Chicago. Sunshine now 81 degrees at 12:31. The Lake County Sheriff's Office Marine Unit reporting the rescue of two teenage paddleboarders on Lake Michigan. Around 1:30 yesterday afternoon, deputies spotted the two 16-year-olds, a boy and a girl, about a mile off the Lake Bluff shoreline. They were not wearing life vests and did not have their phones. They were pulled to the sheriff's boat and reunited with family at the Lake Forest Marina. Well, many across the country finding ways to beat the heat.
Dogs got into the act of self-care at this dog park in New Jersey.
I've learned from my friends to come out early so that, you know, it doesn't get too hot. So that's why we're here before noon. We dunk her paws in when she looks like she's getting a little too hot so that she's okay.
While in Philadelphia, a familiar tune beckoned customers seeking something cold and sweet to beat the heat. Bradley Blackburn, CBS News, New York.
Save money on your energy bills and help create an energy-efficient home with products like Energy Star air purifiers, smart thermostats, and more. Find rebates and discounts today at ComEd.com/save.
Cash, credit, debit, and totally free. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Stocks are trading mixed. Joining us now with the latest on what is moving Wall Street, Jack Ablin, Chief Investment Officer at Crescent Capital in Chicago. Jack, thanks for being with us on the Noon Business Hour today. All right, so NVIDIA and other tech, the primary driver of the markets as of late. Any concern in your eyes about that narrow leadership in the stocks?
Yeah, well, you know, we always get a little concerned with the market driven by only a handful of stocks, because then instead of investing in 500 stocks, you're really only investing in one or two to get the results of the S&P 500. In fact, I just looked at it this morning and saw that half of the S&P 500 right now, even though we're making record highs in the market, half of the S&P 500 stocks are trading more than 20% below their all-time high. So half the market, half the S&P is in a bear market right now.
So, Jack, any concern on your part of a possible pullback despite the fact that the markets keep posting those new highs?
It, you know, I think because we're relying on so few names, there is some sensitivity to a pullback. If there's any kind of disappointment with, you know, a handful of names, I mean, we had obviously pullback earlier in the year, late last year on Tesla. Other companies have stepped forward. Yeah, it's a little concern. It's a little more risk just because, again, the fortunes of the S&P are tied in just a handful of names.
Also want to get your thoughts, Jack, on international markets, particularly exposure to Europe, you know, in light of the results of recent elections there. What are you keeping an eye on when it comes to international trade?
Sure. I look at, you know, certainly on the surface, fundamentals in Europe are deteriorating. It's going to be a much more difficult environment as the far right gains more power there, because they're going to, you know, build walls, cut off immigration. They're going to potentially raise wages, reduce retirement age, essentially just make it a little more difficult for companies to succeed in those markets. At the same time, everyone points to, oh, well, you know, international stocks are trading at a discount to the S&P 500. If you look on just at the surface, internationals trading at a forward PE of 15 times while the S&P is trading at 21 times. What they lose sight of is the mix of sectors in internationals much different. In fact, much fewer technology companies, many more banks. And so when you adjust for the sector weightings, we find that, in fact, international stocks are more expensive than the S&P 500. They're trading at 23 times forward PE if you adjust their sectors to the sectors of the S&P. So we've got difficult fundamentals, relatively expensive market, probably not a great time to be jumping into international at this stage of the game.
So, Jack, you also keep an eye on the price of copper as sort of an economic indicator. Why is that, and what is it telling you kind of right now?
Sure. So copper, certainly a pro-cyclical indicator. We also look at gold, which is what we'll call a defensive indicator. Right now, copper's peaked earlier in the month. It's coming off a little bit, but it is trending higher, suggesting that global manufacturing, global construction moving higher, creating more demand there. Gold, on the other hand, also rallying, and when you put the two together, suggests that interest rates should trend lower just because of the gold outperforming copper.
And Jack, before we let you go here, any advice to the investor or any other takeaways that people should know about for the market here as the week comes to an end and we roll into the weekend?
Sure. You know, I think that the number one takeaway with stocks is that, you know, I wouldn't own any shares of stocks unless I had a 7-year time horizon. Trying to predict the market over shorter periods of time is really more of a gamble than it is an investment. And so as you have your goals and needs from your portfolio, make sure that any need you have beyond 7 years you put in stock, but any need you need fewer than 7 years, shorter than 7 years, probably need to structure in bonds. And, you know, bonds nowadays, not a bad yield.
Really insightful stuff. Thanks, as always. That is Jack Ablin, Chief Investment Officer at Crescent Capital. Up next in Technology Thursday, car dealerships are dealing with a computer system outage.
Cashing in with conversation, the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
A cyber incident at Hoffman Estates-based CDK Global having a major impact on the computer systems of car dealerships in the U.S. and Canada. Let's check in now with Jerry Irvine, CIO of Prescient Solutions and member of the U.S. Secret Service Electronic Crimes Task Force. Jerry, thanks for being with us today here on the New Business Hour. So tell us, what is behind this computer system outage?
So they haven't given any specifics, but the fact that they're shutting systems down as opposed to simply slowing them down, they're saying there's the systems are slower, they're having problems, and to eliminate any potential risk, they're shutting systems down. That tells me that somebody is actually in the system. Either they have some type of ransomware or there's some type of persistent threat that's going on in there. So as a result, they're shutting them down to keep the hackers from exfiltrating any other type of data that may not have been taken yet. So if I were, you know, a person who had just got a car or was in the process of buying a car, I'd be worried about my financial information, my user IDs, passwords, credit card information, you know, my all of my personally identifiable data is probably at some sort of risk.
So certainly concern there for the consumer, Jerry, but what does this mean for car dealerships right now?
Well, you know, this is just another step in the number of hacks that have been going on. Obviously, it's stopping them from doing their business. A month or so ago, Lurie's Hospital had an incident that had their whole systems down for 30 to 45 days, if not more. Change Healthcare, you know, also had a similar problem back in March. So there's a lot of companies that are being attacked right now, which are stopping users and the companies from being able to perform their tasks appropriately and get their work done.
So, Jerry, you mentioned that this is nothing new, unfortunately. We are seeing more of these kind of large-scale breaches, attacks, whatever you want to define them as. Why is that? What does that say about critical infrastructure here moving forward?
Well, critical infrastructure has been a concern for years. Ted Brokaw wrote a book called Lights Out a number of years ago that talked about the Chinese hacking the power infrastructure. Recently, the FBI did a news article on the fact that the infrastructure, both electrical and gas, are being hacked more frequently now than ever. Those things are happening. Part of the problem is that systems now are more integrated into the actual internet, being accessible worldwide, as opposed to being segmented and on their own little island. In the old days, right, we had PLC systems that only could be attached from a local network or from a person directly on facility. Now, with the internet becoming more and more the internet of things and internetable things, we are finding that things are more and more susceptible, and hackers are taking advantage of that.
Interesting stuff and some eye-opening stuff for sure. Thanks again, Jerry Irvine, CIO of Prescient Solutions and member of the U.S. Secret Service Electronic Crimes Task Force. Still to come, why tickets to this Sunday's Sky game against Indiana are so expensive.
Money conversation that pays a big dividend. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Well, the WNBA game featuring the Sky and Indiana Fever in Chicago on Sunday is setting records for ticket prices. Let's find out now why from Judson Richards, our own sports and news anchor. Judson, hello. Welcome in.
Andy, hi. How are you? I don't know if you have plans on Sunday with your fiance for a day date, but if you plan on taking in a basketball game, well, I think you probably already know this. Well, go ahead.
Well, my day date will be anchoring here, but
oh,
go
working.
On. Yes, yes.
Well,
so I will not be the Sky game.
It's a good thing you're earning money for the next time Caitlin Clark comes to town. Because, in fact, right now, the Sky and the Fever, who meet up on Sunday, the average ticket price is going for about $253. Okay, now I know inflation is high, but the average prior than this game is $88 a game to go and see the Sky play. Caitlin Clark is in town. A number of things are happening in this game. We love a good rivalry. Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese to carry over from their matchups in college. Caitlin Clark, wherever she goes, you have enormous readings. A week ago, this was the most watched WNBA game between the two in 23 years. And then, of course, let's not forget that Caitlin Clark, the star, is from Des Moines, Iowa, right? The great Iowa Hawkeye. So I think we're going to have a lot of Iowa sports fans, Des Moines, Iowa natives, coming here to see Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, the matchup. And as you mentioned, the highest ticket going for $9,000.
So I want to ask you from kind of the sports perspective here. Obviously, this is year one, the Caitlin Clark versus Angel Reese, you know, matchup. For those who want to see it, I mean, obviously the popularity of the WNBA has skyrocketed in the last couple months or so, the women's tournament. Obviously, a lot of that has to do with Caitlin Clark. For those who want to go see them, but maybe, you know, this is frankly out of their price range, is this something you see, you know, we're talking next season when Caitlin Clark comes to town, that this is another, you know, ticket prices are through the roof? How do you see it kind of in the seasons to come, I guess?
Right, that is the biggest question. The WNBA really has never lived in the green. It's supported by the NBA, right? So at some point in time, you wonder, will Caitlin Clark be this enormous draw, along with Angel Reese? Once you get into the building, once you get into Wintrust Arena, once you tune in to see it on Marquee Sports Network, and then you get to know the other players, you get to understand the league, you get to know other teams. Does Caitlin Clark allow not only just for people to seek her out, because at some point in times there will no longer be a first. This is her first time in Chicago, right? Once you get past those first, is the WNBA able to capitalize on her popularity, not only the ticket pricing boom, but also the ratings boom? And then does the WNBA find itself to be on more sure footing about better ratings, not only ticket prices, but as we know, when you have better ratings, then you also have better ad revenue. When you're able to sell more ads, you are able to make more money, and the league is able to flourish. I do not expect it to look like it does next year, like it is currently, but a star is a star, right? And the better that Caitlin Clark gets, the more that the WNBA will be able to grow from it.
Really interesting stuff. Congratulations to anyone who scored a ticket to Sunday's game without breaking the bank.
And Johnson, sorry about you having to work on Sunday.
It's okay. It's all right. I'm happy to be here. Happy to serve. Judson, thanks so much. That's Judson Richards, WBBM Sports and News Anchor. A reminder, if you missed any part of today's show, you can go to our stream and skip back to the time you want. There's a pause and rewind function that works both online and with the Odyssey app.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.